Hello, this is Sharon, and I'm bringing you the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. We begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled, Potholes Return, City Crews Finding Fewer This Year Than in Previous Springs. One sure sign of spring is warmer temperatures and drivers finding more potholes. Whenever we have a cold snap and then a warm-up, that is when you get a lot more potholes showing up, said Kevin Coffey, Public Works Director for Bloomington. Any type of freeze-thaw cycle tends to create more. Coffey said the end of winter marks the start of pothole season. It's a reality of living in the Midwest, he said. I hear people say how great the roads are in Florida. Well, it's because they don't have the freeze-thaw cycle. I wonder how the roads in Texas will be after their recent cold snap. There, a cold snap doesn't usually last very long, and it will be interesting to see if they have more problems this year. Local officials, including Coffey, say there are fewer potholes this year than in past years. We are getting requests for potholes, but it really isn't as bad this year as it was a couple of years ago, he said. There are some, and we appreciate it when people let us know where they are. We can normally get them repaired in a day, maybe two at most. Scott Denowitz, the supervisor for the street division for the town of Normal, says the season really kicks in with the first thaw. We are pretty much only a week into it, so it's hard to tell, but I would think it will be pretty typical of most years, he said. It depends upon how much rain we get in the coming weeks. The two worst things for potholes are rain and the mild temperatures after a freeze. Denowitz described the winter as pretty mild. That was until we got into that section of February where it got cold and then it stayed cold, he said. It's the fluctuation of hot, cold, and then hot, cold, and precipitation. Those cause things to be worse. Normal has about 4 crews per day working on filling potholes, he said. We put them in different sections of town, just trying to cover the whole town, and we will continue that until the season is over, basically, he added. McLean County engineer Jerry Stokes said the county hasn't seen a lot of issues so far. The frost wasn't that deep, and we had that cold spell in February, but we snapped out of that pretty quick, he said. It hasn't been too horrible of a winter for us. We have a couple of roads with some center line issues, but so far this year, we haven't had a lot of pothole issues. Potholes can wreak havoc on your car's tires, wheels, shocks, and struts, tie rods, ball joints, control arms, and the list goes on. They can put a big hole in your wallet as well. Pothole-related auto repair costs average $306, but some unfortunate drivers wind up paying more than $1,000 to fix the damage, according to the American Automobile Association. But local body shops say that complaints have been down this year. We haven't seen a lot of business yet due to potholes, but we know there are some big ones out there, said Ryan Zimmer, a manager with Kurtz Auto Body Repair Shop at 2025 Ireland Grove Road in Bloomington. It's still early in the season. To report a pothole in Bloomington, residents are asked to use the My Bloomington app, Coffey said. That is the best way because people can take a picture of it, and when you're standing there by the pothole, it tells exactly where you are at, and you can take a picture of the pothole so we can make sure that we are getting the one you reported, Coffey said. The public can also call 309-434-BUMP. the Public Works Office, 309-434-2225, or send an email to publicworks@citybloom.org. In Normal, go to the Report a Problem on the town's website. Redbirds revise homecoming. University adapts traditions and timing to fit pandemic limits. There will be a parade and tailgating for homecoming next month at Illinois State University. They just won't be taking place on the streets of Normal or around Redbird Stadium. A lot will be different with this homecoming, starting with the fact that it's taking place in the spring. When football was moved to spring because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the university decided to move homecoming too and keep the homecoming celebration traditionally with football, explained Stephanie Dukin, Director of Alumni Engagement. Organizers are incorporating as many homecoming traditions as possible with modifications for the pandemic. Homecoming week will be April 5th to the 11th, and events are scheduled each day. The theme is Redbirds in Flight, and you can expect ISU mascot Reggie Redbird to fly in to many events, virtually speaking. Since we can't have traditional tailgating in our tent zone, we came up with the concept of driveway tailgating, said Duquesne. People are encouraged to decorate their doors, their windows, or garage, and celebrate with a small, socially distanced group of family and or friends. The first 150 alumni who sign up can get a homecoming swag pack with goodies such as can koozies, stickers, a bottle opener, palms, the words to the ISU fight song, and a flat Reggie. He can be a guest at your driveway tailgate, said Duquesne. If you want the swag pack, you'd better hurry. By Tuesday morning, 130 had already been claimed. Time is also running out if you want to be part of the virtual homecoming parade. You must submit a horizontal photo or 10-second video showcasing Redbird spirit by this Friday. The photos and videos will be compiled into a parade video to premiere on Facebook on game day, which is April 10th. The Big Red Marching Machine and Gamma Phi Circus will be part of the parade. Information on homecoming events, including how to register, can be found at homecoming.ilstu.edu. Tickets will not be available to purchase for the game against North Dakota. Watch GoRedbirds.com for updates on ticket availability. The game will be shown on the Marquee Sports Network. Chris Harding, Executive Director of Alumni Engagement, said President Larry Dietz charged us when this all started. How do we provide the excellent services we always do? Homecoming traditions will still take place, even though most of them will be virtual. The marketing team has done an incredible job of making it happen, said Harding. She said the virtual nature of some events has increased participation from alumni who couldn't travel to homecoming. For example, the historic tour of the quad usually attracts about 20 participants, but this year's virtual tour already has 60 people signed up. Duquesne called that one of the rainbows in the pandemic. She said, our community partners have pivoted with us to support our weird new ideas. The Town and Gown 5K will take place virtually and already has 240 runners signed up. A video taken from the point of view or Reggie running the usual route has been recorded. You can watch it on your phone while you're running on a treadmill, said Duquesne. Window painting will go on as usual. There will be lights in Uptown and campus offices will be decorated. The pep rally will be virtual, but expanded to include more coaches, along with the new athletic director, Kyle Brennan. Some of the homecoming memorabilia, such as the can koozies, will have last fall's date. They were ordered in February before you know what. They're still collector's items, said Harding. Bloomington Home Market, affordable. Bloomington and Decatur are listed among the most affordable U.S. cities for home buyers on a new survey. The business insurance resource provider, Advisor Smith, listed the top 50 U.S. cities for home buyers according to price-to-income ratio, placing Decatur at the number 4 spot overall and 3rd in the small cities category of population less than 100,000. Decatur had a 1.7 price-to-income ratio, where the weighted home price was $70,837 and $41,440 for median household income. Bloomington landed the number 20 spot on the overall list and 9th in the small city category. It had a 2.3 price-to-income ratio, with $154,716 as its weighted home price and $67,874 median household income. Peoria and Springfield also appeared on the list for cities with populations of between 100,000 and 350,000. The group looked at 592 U.S. metro cities. The study examined housing price data from Zillow Home Value Index as of January 2021 and household income, compositions, and population data from the American Community Survey from the U.S. Census Bureau at the city level as of 2018. Today's Flick Fact. By this time tomorrow, Bloomington-based State Farm will have processed how many more insurance claims? 1,500, 22,000, 12,000, or 18,700? And the answer, each day, State Farm says it processes 22,000 insurance claims. Today in history, today is Wednesday, March 3rd. It's the 62nd day of 2021. We have 303 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on March 3rd, 1931, the Star-Spangled Banner became the national anthem of the United States as President Herbert Hoover signed a congressional resolution. On this date in 1791, Congress passed a measure taxing distilled spirits. It was the first Internal Revenue Act in U.S. history. In 1845, Florida became the 27th state. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed a measure creating the National Academy of Sciences. In 1887, Anne Sullivan arrived to the Alabama home of Captain and Mrs. Arthur Keller to become the teacher for their deaf-blind 6-year-old daughter, Helen. And in 1943, in London's East End, 173 people died in a crush of bodies at the Bethnal Green Tube Station, which was being used as a wartime air raid shelter. How time flies locally from the back pages of the pantograph. 100 years ago, March 3, 1921, fire destroyed the W.H. Boyle's home in Littleville. The family was not home at the time, so there were no injuries, but they lost everything. Boyle's thinks a defective flue may be the cause. Littleville is in Randolph Township, just northeast of Hayworth. 75 years ago, March 3, 1946. Two more local men are out of uniform and back in civilian clothes. Alan Sickle returns to his old job, heading up National Wine and Liquor with his longtime partner. And attorney Eugene Larkin will open a law office in the People's Bank building. 50 years ago, March 3, 1971. Pontiac policeman Wesley Tucker was kidnapped, thrown into the trunk of his cruiser, and left inside a rural shed. He had stopped a suspicious car when the two occupants got the drop on him. He freed himself after 3 hours and radioed for help. The suspects escaped. And 25 years ago today, March 3, 1996, Edgar C. of Gibson City celebrates his 100th birthday next week. He told of some pretty narrow escapes when he was a soldier in World War I. Another came when the family home burned near Saybrook. These days, he plays bingo and Uno and receives visitors. County adds 7 cases. Near year-old low. Fewest new cases in one day since March 21st. Total, 14,198. McLean County Health Department reported 7 new cases of COVID-19 on Tuesday, a low not seen since March 21st, 2020. Since last March, the McLean County Health Department has marked 14,198 cases of the virus since the pandemic's onset. As cases continue to drop, the county's positivity rate does as well, with the 7-day positivity rate sitting at 1.9% as of Monday, with the cumulative positivity rate dipping below 6% to 5.9% on Tuesday. No additional deaths were reported. Hospital bed capacity remained tight on Tuesday, as 95% of all beds and 85% of all intensive care unit beds were reported as filled, although the total number of people hospitalized in the county with the virus was unavailable again. 17 county residents are hospitalized due to COVID-19. Also, Tuesday, health officials canceled a clinic for people who were expecting their second dose of vaccine after there was a shipment delay. It was supposed to be at the Activity and Recreation Center in Normal. Today's delayed shipment is simply just that, a delay in doses that we are expecting and are still expecting to receive for this week's allotment, spokesman Marianne Manko said. A rescheduled date has not been set. McLean County Health Department said the date will be announced as soon as vaccine is received. Those affected by Wednesday's cancellation were set to receive a second dose of Pfizer vaccine, which is supposed to be administered 21 days after the first dose was given. Around 7% of the county's total population has received both shots, according to Illinois Department of Public Health data on Tuesday afternoon. That percentage represents around 12,000 people. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Tuesday reported 1,577 new COVID-19 cases statewide, as well as 47 additional deaths. County panel holds off on stand on state police immunity reform. Members of the McLean County Justice Committee will take more time to consider a resolution in support of law enforcement protections that have been a key element of the movement for criminal justice reform. The committee had been set to consider on Tuesday a measure in support of preserving qualified immunity protection from lawsuits against officers who cause injury or death while acting in good faith under the badge. The sweeping Illinois criminal justice overhaul, signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker last month, creates a year-long task force to study constitutional rights, and the group is expected to examine qualified immunity as part of its work. A provision in the initial bill that would have ended qualified immunity in Illinois, but opposition caused state lawmakers to move the issue to the task force for study instead. Supporters of the resolution being proposed to the McLean County Board want the board to express its support for local law enforcement and correction officers and to support their continued protections from civil lawsuits as currently afforded under state law. But Justice Committee Chairman Chuck Erickson on Tuesday pulled a motion on the resolution, citing questions from board members who will now have more time to consider the measure. "I decided I wanted to withdraw my motion until next month," Erickson said. "I have heard from other county board members who have questions about the resolution as presently written. A month will give us time to address those questions more fully and for other members to get their questions answered." The board received several emails from residents opposed to the resolution, which were read during the 30-minute public comment period at the start of the meeting. Erickson, who had emailed committee members in support of the resolution, said he still supports qualified immunity. "I do think the county board should explicitly say so, however. I believe it is prudent at this time to get these questions resolved before we move forward with the resolution. Most of the questions I have seen revolve around the criminal justice reform bill and what it actually says about qualified immunity." Erickson also asked Chris Spanos, McLean County First Assistant State's Attorney for the Civil Division, for further explanation of the bill. "What it says is that it creates a task force on constitutional rights and remedies," he said. "The purpose of the task force is to develop and propose policies and procedures to review and reform constitutional rights and remedies, including qualified immunity for peace officers." Erickson told committee members that the McLean County Sheriff's Department deserves the support of the board. "The morale of the McLean County Sheriff's Department has been strong, but the recent changes to the law have created new and significant challenges." A public showing of support by the McLean County Board and a statement objecting to further changes to the protections provided by the Illinois Qualified Immunity Act will go a long way towards supporting the Sheriff Department and raising the morale of the department. The Executive Committee of the Bloomington Normal Branch of the NAACP expressed its opposition to the resolution on Tuesday. The group also said the county board should stop misinformation regarding the criminal justice reform bill, which was previously known as House Bill 3653. Many members of the NAACP have family members who diligently serve as members of law enforcement, the statement read. "However, racially motivated policing is discriminatory, deplorable, and intolerable." The Bloomington Normal Branch of the NAACP is demanding the McLean County Board cease and desist with the misinformation regarding House Bill 3653. "This divisiveness does not propel our community on the proper trajectory. Instead, we must work together to support House Bill 3653 and to implement the aforementioned shared principles. The collaborative efforts will assist with replace mistrust with mutual trust as we all work toward a more perfect union. Bond set in strangulation case. Bond has been set for a Bloomington man who was held in custody last week on an aggravated domestic battery charge. Jacob Newton, 23, was ordered Tuesday to post $7,535 to be released from the McLean County Jail after being accused of punching and strangling a household member the night of February 22nd and into February 23rd, according to prosecutors. He was ordered to have no contact with the victim or the location of the alleged incident. An arraignment was previously scheduled for March 19th. The Bloomington Normal mayoral debates are coming up. Normal will be a debate between Chris Coos and Mark Tiratilli that will take place on Tuesday, March 23rd at 5:30 p.m. via Zoom and Facebook Live. The Bloomington mayoral debate will be between Jackie Gunderson, Milwambi, and Mike Straza. That will take place on Wednesday, March 31st at 5:30 p.m. via Zoom and Facebook Live. You can submit questions to newsroom@pantograph.com by Friday, March 19th. Bloomington's five-day forecast today will be mostly sunny and not as cool, with a high temperature of 55 degrees. Tonight will be clear with a low of 30 degrees. Thursday will also be mostly sunny. The temperatures are expected to range between 50 and 26 degrees. Friday will be sunny to partly cloudy, with a high temperature expected of 51 degrees and a low of 27 degrees. Saturday, there'll be plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will range between 52 and 33 degrees, and Sunday will be partly sunny. It will be breezy, but continued mild, with a high temperature expected of 57 degrees and a low of 40 degrees. Pantograph Media and the Illinois State University Mennonite College of Nursing present Nurses, the Heart of Healthcare. Thank a nurse who's made a difference. Nominate a nurse today. Nursing professionals have faced more challenges in 2020 than ever before due to COVID-19. Celebrate a nurse by nominating one who's made an impact in the lives of others. 10 honorees will be featured in a special section in the Pantograph in honor of National Nurses Week. Nominate a nurse today by visiting pantograph.com/contests. I'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. Please stay tuned.